One of the teachers came to Pastor Nierman when he began to talk about this Sunday morning, and it was going to be Reformation and Reformation. We're going to have all this great song. And he said, you know, we should get a special preacher for this Sunday. We should get the best preacher in the whole Missouri Synod. But he turned them down. And then someone else came to Pastor and said, you know, we should get the best theologian in the entire Missouri Synod. But he turned him down too. And then someone else said, well, at least we could get the best looking preacher in the whole Missouri Synod. But he turned them down. And then Pastor Nierman finally said, well, we could always get Pastor Stevens from the district office. And what could I say? I had already turned him down three times. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I also bring you greetings on behalf of our district president, Terry Kripe, and the entire district staff. And on their behalf and on behalf of all the ministries that our district carries out all over Ohio, West Virginia, and Northeast Kentucky, I want to say thank you to you, the saints of St. John Freedom Township. You're one of the congregations that continually supports the work of district and synod with your gifts and your generosity. Without congregations like you, we couldn't do what we do. Thank you very much. This is a time of year for scary stories. You know, Freddy Krueger, Michael Myers, Jason. So let me tell you a scary story. A beautiful woman wearing the sun and a crown of 12 stars stands on the moon, and she is pregnant. She is accosted by a red dragon who has 7 heads and 10 horns on each head and 7 royal crowns on his head. And he's waiting for her to give birth to the baby because he wants to kill that child. But a hero comes to the rescue. Together with his allies, he attacks the dragon, throws him down upon the earth. The dragon becomes enraged. And though he could not kill that woman's child, he goes after the beautiful woman. He pursues her with ferocity. And the rest of the story is how the woman and her children are miraculously protected from the fierce dragon, who attempts over and over and over again to destroy them. Now, unlike fictional scary stories, this one's true. It comes from Revelation chapter 12 and 13. It's the background for our text today. The beautiful woman is the church, and the dragon is Satan. And the hero is Michael and all his angels. And the newborn child is the Messiah. And we are the rest of the children of this woman. This scary story actually has its beginnings back in Genesis chapter 3, where God says to Satan, I will put enmity between you and this woman, and between you and her offspring. It was because Eve was the bearer of the promise of a Messiah, and so were her offspring, and therefore, Satan, the dragon, was always going to be trying to kill those who carry the promise of a Savior. You and I are part of this scary story. It's not a movie. I skipped one of my slides, I'm sorry. You and I are part of this scary story. It's not a movie. It's real, whether you know it or not, because you and I and every other believer in Jesus Christ are constantly under attack, directly, indirectly, overtly, covertly, insidiously. The saints to whom the book of Revelation was originally written were being arrested. Their property was being confiscated. They were being tortured and killed if they continued to confess Jesus is Lord. They were being told to conform and proclaim that Caesar is Lord. And when they refused, they were persecuted. Now, in your life of discipleship under the Lord Jesus, you are attacked from time to time. You are being told that a life of faith is a waste of time. You are continually tempted to walk by sight, not by faith. We live in a society that is becoming increasingly ambivalent and more hostile to the message that we proclaim. You are being asked to conform to society. And while the persecutions that you and I face are more subtle than the early Christians, they are nevertheless real. I'm sure that many of you can share some scary stories of what this pressure to conform looks like in your life, or the way you've seen it in others. Well, the message of the book of Revelation is a comfort to all who are feeling the effects of Satan's attack. Here's the bottom line. Jesus Christ is the victor. He has overcome Satan. And because of faith in Him, you and I are victorious through Him, even in the midst of persecutions and the pressures to conform. Which brings us to our text for this Reformation Sunday. Let me read it again. It's short. John says, "Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. And worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water.'" What John is seeing is that God has sent his messenger of hope. When people are afraid, when this world is scary, when fears abound, we need a message and a messenger of hope. And there are three questions that we must answer that arise out of this text from Revelations. The first is, who are the recipients of the message? The second is, what is the message? And the third is, who are the messengers? Who are the recipients? Everyone. Every nation, tribe, and language, and people group. You and I are included. The message is for us, yes, and for everyone else also. It's a message of hope for the single mom, for the widower, for the migrant worker, for the teenager, for the agribusiness exec, for the checker at the grocery. Is a message of hope for Muslims, Hindus, atheists, and Lutherans. We all are the recipients. That's what John's telling us. And recipients of what? What is the message? Well, in the context of the first century, the message people heard was, fear and honor Rome and pay homage to Caesar. That society glorified hedonism and treated human life as if it were cheap. It undermined marriage. It encouraged homosexuality. Glory went to those who taught such thing, and honor went to those who amassed wealth at the expense of others. But this message is different from that which was sent out by Rome. And by the way, didn't their message sound eerily familiar to you? This message is, fear God. Give Him the glory. Be in awe of Him. Caesar bullied people into obedience. That's what governments do. He bullied them into obedience through fear and intimidation. But God cajoles us with His love, with His grace. And are you not in awe of a God who knew no sin would become sin for you? Doesn't that just awe you? Don't you just want to step back and go, whoa! This is beyond belief. I could never have believed this on my own. It would have taken something outside of me to get this. Are you not stunned that because of God's free grace, you don't get what you deserve? But instead, you get to be called a child of the Most High God. You get to inherit all the blessings and benefits that come to brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your response of faith, then, is to fear God and glorify Him and worship Him. This is the message that God, our Heavenly Father, wants to get out to the entire world. Jesus said, go make disciples of all people. He said, go share this good news with all creation. Repentance and forgiveness will be preached in my name everywhere, all the time. The message is clear. God wants everyone to enjoy the blessings of life in His kingdom through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. It is that very gospel message that we celebrate annually on the Festival of the Reformation. So who's the messenger? Well, what John saw was an angel flying low over the earth. I think the point isn't that it was a miraculous angel. I think the point that John's making is that the message could be seen by all. It was clear to everyone. Think of it this way. About a month ago, the Cleveland Indians played in a playoff game at the end of the season. And downtown Cleveland was just full of people. I mean, there were tons of people all over the place. And Progressive Field was packed. And over Progressive Field flew this airplane pulling a Mally's chocolate sign. Now, everyone could see the sign. It was evident to all. It was clear. It was plain. I think that's what God is trying to tell us through this vision. The angel makes this so clear, so evident, so plain, that no one can miss it. Now, over the years, many have thought that this angel was a prophecy of Martin Luther himself. In fact, when Luther died in 1546, his pastor used this very text as the text for his sermon, for his funeral sermon. I like that idea. I think it sounds nice. But I think it's a bit of a stretch that this angel is a prophecy of Luther. I think it's bigger than that. I think it's a picture of all of God's people at all time when they are proclaiming the gospel message. Paul understood this. He said in Ephesians 3:10 that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. You're an angel when you glorify God, when you honor Him. You and I, the church, we are messengers of hope to the rest of the world. You and I make known God's eternal plan to Satan. He's watching. He's listening. We make it known to all who oppose God. We make it known by living the message on a daily basis, by being messengers of hope. In fact, the word messenger in Greek is angel. You're an angel as you share this message of hope. Bill and Mildred, well, Bill was a graphic artist. Mildred was a homemaker. They are angels to my wife Susan and I. Bill and Mildred invited Susan and I to hear this message while we were dead in our trespasses and sins. And we wouldn't know Jesus as our Savior had it not been for Bill and Mildred. They brought us to church where we heard the eternal gospel. You also are God's angel. God uses messengers like you to share the eternal, the invincible gospel with people who are wandering around in hopelessness and spiritual darkness. You have the ability to embody this message of hope by bringing it personally to the souls who are longing to hear some good news, some hope. This Thursday, when do they actually do Halloween here? That always flabbergasts me that you do Halloween other than on Halloween. Are they doing Halloween Thursday night here in this town? Nobody knows. Are you listening to me? Somebody say yes or no. This Thursday evening is Halloween, and most of the children will be disguised in the hopes of getting treats. I want you to wear a disguise. Not just this Thursday, but every day of the year. I want you to think of yourself as a plain-clothed angel. Because you know the eternal gospel. And this knowledge isn't just in your head. The gospel occupies first place in your heart. And a heart filled with the saving gospel of Jesus cannot be disguised. It will be evident to everyone else. Yet we live in a world that's a scary place. Children are being shot in schools. There's natural disasters, sicknesses, racism, road rage. We could go on and on. And as long as we live in this New Testament era, while Satan constantly has us under attack, our world is going to become more and more frightening. The angel is telling us, look, you people who believe, fear God. Hold Him in awe. Give Him the glory He deserves. Worship Him. For God is greater than the evil forces. He proved it over 2,000 years ago when He descended into hell and crushed Satan. Satan and his evil forces cannot stand up against the gospel. Though devils all the world should fill, they cannot devour us. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fell him. It's Jesus. The battle is won. Those who believe in Christ, that's you, are victorious, no matter how scary life is. And that eternal message needs to continually go out through you, His angels, here on earth. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.